All right, well, this isn't exactly the way I planned to do it on the phone, but I guess this is the way it's going to happen. So good morning, everyone. What I was saying before was thank you, George, and thank you, everyone who shared. We are here today to remember, honor, and celebrate our dear friend, Lynn Turner. And of course, some of us had the opportunity to know Lynn better than others. But those of us who knew her the best really loved her. Lynn, when she was around me anyway, of course, I can only speak about my experience with her. You know, I don't know when she wasn't with me, but she was always smiling. She was gentle, and she was hopeful. I think those are the words that really come to mind when I think of my experience with Lynn. And that includes after she found out she had cancer. When Lynn found out she had cancer, a friend of hers named Liz asked her what was on her bucket list. And she said that one of the things on her bucket list, or in fact, she told me the only thing on her bucket list, was to come to La Vida, to the retreat house. And so we arranged a scholarship for her so she could do that. She came for a self-inquiry retreat in June, as well as a personal stay beyond that. And while she was there, one day she and I went out into the car so we could have an extremely private conversation. She said she wanted to talk to me. And of course, she wanted to talk to me because she had this diagnosis of cancer. And I didn't know what that conversation was going to look like. Because, you know, sometimes people, a diagnosis like that can really change everything for people, change the way they look at everything. But that's not what happened to Lynn. It didn't change anything for her. She was still smiling. She was still gentle. And she was still hopeful. And her hopefulness that day, there was some hopefulness that that the body would be okay. That was shared. But then there was also hopefulness about if the body wasn't okay. Hopefulness about the spiritual journey. So she seemed to be accepting of both possibilities. And it seems to me what she wanted more than anything was to be in the heart, no matter what the future days were bringing. I had the opportunity to talk to Lynn a couple times after she left La Vida, once on the phone, sometime in the fall, I don't remember when. But I suddenly had a thought of her, and I called her, and we had a very nice conversation. She told me then that she was getting very tired and that she spent a lot of time sleeping. But again, she giggled in that conversation. And then I talked to her just a few days before she passed away. And the most noticeable change was that her voice was drastically weaker. But she was still gentle. She was still hopeful. And it sounded like she was still smiling. In fact, one thing she told me was that the hospice place she was at was lovely. In fact, I kind of giggled because she says, "It's lovely outside. It's right on the beach." She goes, "I can't see it." And I just thought, you know, how hopeful is that? I can't see it. I can't look out the window. I can't sit up. I'm laying down, but I know it's lovely out there. You know, this is the way she was in that last conversation just a few days before she passed away. So what I want to do, Lynn had someone she called my teacher. It was a spiritual master that I don't know if anyone else in Awakening Together is familiar with. But she gave me a book from her spiritual master, which is also by, it's a lineage. So there's an original master, then a second master, and then the most current master. So this book is from that lineage. It's called The Master, A Spiritual Preceptor. That's the name of the book. And I'm going to put my phone down here. I want to share a little bit with you from this book that Lynn gave me. In fact, right here is the, I'm not going to read this, but here's the little handwritten note that she gave me along with the book. And she gave this to me some years ago. And this, I believe, is a picture of her spiritual master. And I can't say his name. It's something like Sant. I'm not even going to try. So let me read. A master is under the orders of the one universal creator, the true one, who pervades the entire creation. The master, being his delegate, abides by his will. He pleads for the upliftment of humanity with his hands folded in humility. He associates with everyone and lends an ear to all. The master is free of ill will and has no feelings of hatred, anger, or revenge. This life is a present from God. And we all have to use this life to realize the one from whom this beautiful gift of life has come. Therefore, during this life, we all have a purpose to fulfill. And the master is there to guide and help you. The master is the beginning. Start accepting him with ease. Endure his radiance. Learn to sit near him in silence. With his remembrance, a light will start burning inside you, and this will gradually increase until you are attuned to seeing its full radiance. It is just like when two stones are struck together and produce a spark. That spark did not come from outside, but was within the stones. It manifested when they were struck against each other. Similarly, a day will come when your small stone will strike against the colossal stone of your great father. A connection will be made and a spark produced. A tiny seed contains a mighty oak in its heart, which can blossom into fullness by proper nourishment and protection. All young and tender saplings do need hand watering, periodic weeding, fertilizing, and protective hedging against the stray wayside cattle so that the saplings are not harmed. In due course of time, the tree grows into full maturity, providing shade and shelter to the wayside travelers and becoming a source of help and inspiration to others. In exactly the same manner, the holy seed of initiation thrives best in a rich and fertile soil formed of high ethical values and loving compassion. A divine stir by the living master of the soul in man is a happy start for the long spiritual journey ahead. You have been therefore invariably advised to do self-introspection, which helps in developing the fertility and in germinating the divinity to full bloom. The master is here to remind you that your true being is soul and to guide you to realize your true potential and competency as soul. He is also here to remind you that you should be living this life as soul. Though we all, in order to maintain our physical vesture, have to act in the material world, and it may keep us busy, but that should not take away all the precious time we need to fulfill our true purpose of this human life, which is to realize ourselves as soul. This is the only way to be one with the one. And this, again, is the only way to end our journey from one life to another And again, this is only the way to get out of the fear of death, by conquering it. Again, it is only possible if we strive to realize ourself as soul, therefore merging with the very source from which we all emanated. So I'm going to turn the mic over to Dawn, and she's going to play a song that I selected called A Single Moment of Remembering. It's about a woman's love for her guru. The guru in this song is not Lynn's guru, but I think the love shared is the same. So go ahead, Dawn.
When I look at you, it's like an answered prayer. It's like a thousand prayers have just been answered. I want to give you all I own, my family, friends, my home. But without love, it means nothing.
Thank you very much, Dawn, for sharing. Lynn's adult children are here, Darcy and Glenn, and they have offered to share with us what her passing was like, as well as anything else they would like to share about her. So I would like to invite Darcy and Glenn to share. And Dawn, because I'm on the phone, I can't see well, so if you would manage that sharing. Thank you.
See, do you hear me?
Yes.
Hi, Regina.
Hi, you're lovely, Darcy.
Thank you. Thank you for that. That was beautiful. And here's my mother. I don't know if you could, if the glare is bad, but that's a picture of my mother. Yeah. And this is Baljeet Singh.
Okay.
And she was initiated by Thakur Singh. So those were the names that you were looking for. So Her passing was more special than we could ever imagine.
Take him out.
So on Wednesday morning, this past Wednesday morning, my brother and I came to Boca to hospice by the sea. My brother drove from Tampa and I flew in from New York. We met there and we didn't know that it was going to be the last time that we spoke to my mother, our mother, because she was very sedated after that, but they tried to give us some time to spend with her. One of the last things that she had asked was when my family was coming down, my daughter Alexa, my son Jordan, and my husband David. At that time, we didn't know what to tell her because flying from New York and working and everything, it kind of depended on her. So I couldn't give her a straight answer. But after I talked to my husband, we decided they were all going to come Saturday morning. So Saturday morning, my mother's friend, and now my mother has been completely sedated for days now. And my mother's friend Liz on Saturday morning said, you know what, Darcy, I want to make a program for her memorial. I want to put in some linisms, some quotes, a poem. So she asked me to look into that. And I remember a poem, a beautiful poem that my friend used at her father's funeral. So this was not the poem, but this sparked an idea with my brother that he said, wait a second, Mom gave me a poem 10 some years ago to read at her memorial. So I said, okay, that's okay. Where is this poem? He said, at home, which is in Tampa. So great. How is that going to help? But he said, maybe my dog sitter can find this poem. So your dog sitter is going to find this poem. Okay. Good luck with that. So he said, well, I think it's in this drawer, in this file. Okay. Well, miraculously, she found this poem. And my family arrived around 2:30 on Saturday. Beautiful French doors to her room. We were sitting outside. My daughter and son were a little taken back seeing her, so we were kind of sitting outside for a little bit. But then we decided to all come in and gather around her. And Glenn, my brother, read the poem to her. We were all sitting around her. And it's called I'm Free. And, oh, by the way, the most important part was when we looked at this poem, when the dog sitter took a picture and sent the poem to my brother's phone, there was a little post-it in my mother's handwriting on the poem, a yellow post-it that said, read at the appropriate time. So he's reading this poem, and the last words he said, after he said it, we said, okay, Mom, we're going to go take a walk, because we always heard that sometimes they don't like to pass in front of you. So we kept trying to do that. So we're going for a walk, and this was within a second after reading the poem. We turn around and we look at, and she just took her last breath. And we kind of turned back to take a step in, and we saw that she kind of, it almost like she felt our presence and wanted to give one last breath, but really couldn't. And we said, let's walk. She's trying to pass. So we walked down the hallway, and I told the nurse that I think she's passing, but please give her a minute. And we walked outside right out the first door we saw, which we've never seen this door before, this beautiful pond, water fountain, beautiful flowers, benches. We sat all around and we just pictured her going straight up. And we came back in and the nurse said, yes, she did pass. And my mother always said, there are no coincidences. This was planned a long time ago from that poem, from read at the appropriate time. There was not a more appropriate time. It just was so amazing. And what was even more interesting is that my mother always thought the number 7 was very special. And for a couple of months, she was asking me, are you waking up at 3:47, 4:47? I keep waking up. Am I having a conversation with you? What's going on? And I said, I don't know. I guess next time I'll pay attention when I wake up in the middle of the night. Well, we found out that we were noticing all these similarities with this number 7 that I guess were definitely not coincidences. She was in hospice room 707, which is double sevens. And she had just turned, by the way, 77 in December. And she was admitted to hospice on January 7th. She passed away at 3:47. Which is 3 and 4 is 7, that's double sevens. So many more things. Her birthday, 12/4/1247. The day she passed away, January 11th, 2020, 1/1/2020/7. Everything showed up 7. She had a gathering a month before. Turns out it was on December 7th of all her close friends in the area that could come. 10 women sat around in a circle. She said, why do we have to wait till someone passes to say beautiful things about them? Why can't they hear it ahead of time? She had all of us sitting in a circle and went around and said something beautiful to all of us. And then we said something to her. It was the most special day of her life. We all say that there are no coincidences now. We totally believe that. My husband, she's been trying to get through to my husband for his whole life, for her whole of knowing him. And when this all happened at hospice, he said that just blew him away. And he totally believes. He totally is a believer that this all there are no words. So I just wanted to share this all with everyone there because to us, it was an unbelievable story.
Thank you very much.
She was even teaching us in her last breath, her last moment, and that was my mother.
Yeah, thank you, Darcy.
Thank you for doing this and having this.
Yeah, it's very, very precious to hear that too, because, you know, we always know someone from our point of view, but it's so wonderful to hear about her from your point of view. And it's wonderful to hear about these last days and weeks as well. Yeah. Thank you. And does Glenn want to share anything?
Glenn, you're unmuted if you would like to speak.
Can you tell Don if he does or doesn't want to share?
Maybe his audio is not working, kind of like yours was earlier. I don't know.
I will go ahead and pass the mic to Sharon Slack. Sharon was good friends with Lynn, and she has said that she would like to share today. So, Sharon, the mic is yours.
I am a very emotional person, so I'm crying. And that's something that Lynn actually said to me a lot. You know, Sharon, because we talk about awakening, and we had all of this in common. 9.5 years ago, I went to Florida. I live in Pennsylvania to stay with my son and my grandchildren. My granddaughter had a feeding tube. So I was in Boca Raton, and she was in Del Rey, and we would go out every Thursday night for dinner to Panera Bread, and then we would go to our meeting. Now, we became friends way before that because we were always on Gather. We loved being on Gather. She had a master. I had never done that. Having someone, you know, I did have a teacher, but not, you know, her, she would talk about her master. Her commitment to this process was magnificent. She would wake up every day and meditate. She was always, she would always tell me how contented she was. And we would laugh a lot. And if I, you know, I had a situation, as you all know, I have had a running story about my son who, thank God, is doing well right now. But when I was worried about him, she would say, what do you want? You're a mother. We're both Jewish. And there's a thing about these Jewish mothers, you know. No matter how much work I did on myself, that would be a running story. But she would say to me, stop it. You're emotional and you're a mother. And she'd say, you know, you're more than a mother. She made me laugh. She loved everyone. She lived her life like in a very beautiful way. She loved her children so much. I got to hear about them a lot. I got to hear about what Glenn did for her and Darcy. I got to hear about her grandchildren. I was a very blessed, I'm very blessed because Lenny Rose and it was a friend of mine that passed from an online group, and Lynn, and both of them did it in a way that I want for myself. I get that opportunity to know when I will pass, because she gave her children something that most people don't, because she gave them freedom. And what Darcy wrote one day that I thought was so beautiful was, a strong woman believes that she's strong enough to face her journey, but a woman of strength has faith that is the journey that she will become strong. That's Lynn Turner. This was about 6 months, and we still continued our friendship and loved listening to Regina. I mean, it was just something we both shared a lot. You know, for me, Regina's teachings got me through some very rough times. You know, I think that we all love each other, and there's not a special person here, but we did share. And she wanted to get to the Awakening Together retreat house more than anything. I can recall also the cruises she would go on. She wouldn't go on a cruise like other people, than whatever the world. She went on cruises that were all about waking up, all about love, all about everything. So I just want to say that I feel so blessed that I had more than just, that we had a friendship, and I did speak to her a couple weeks ago, getting weaker, but she said, Sharon, we're just energy. She said, I'm at a point now where I say, if something happens to my children, they're energy. She gave that gift for me because she knew how neurotic I was. But that's basically what she would say to me. And it would make me just feel so warm and loved. And, you know, that's all I want to say is that I hope Glenn gets a chance to share, because I loved what Darcy shared, and she loved you guys so much, and you gave your mother so much. And I'm crying from this gratitude, you know, and I think it's true. I know Dawn's a crier, right? So some people are just criers, because I can't stop crying, and I couldn't stop crying when Lenny died. And, you know, and yet it's funny that we don't die, but the body does die. And it's very important that we, you know, like in Michael Singer's book, you know, he's, don't be afraid of death, let it free you, let it encourage you to experience life fully. You know, it's really important. This is why I'm, to embrace this spiritual life that we live. We know that we're more than these mortal beings, that we have the divine within, and that's basically who's living through us. So I bless Lynn. I'll miss her. And I'm just going to hand over the mic. Thanks for letting me have a time today to thank Darcy, thank Regina, and thank Glenn. Because, you know, I know what Glenn, she would just tell me story after story about how, what her children did, what they did for her. Was always positive, always there for her. you know, she's not conventional, neither am I. So I guess that's what I really wanted to say, that you really let her be who she was, not telling her, you know, because when I talk to my oldest son and I talk about the ego, he says, Mom, stop it. I need to talk to you about my problems. And the truth is that, you know, death is beautiful if we can share like this. So thank you, everyone. Giving back the mic and hoping Glenn can talk.
Well, Glenn is having technical difficulties, and it's something to do with his audio, but he wanted me to share with everyone. He wants to convey his gratitude for this group and for providing the sanctuary to his mom. That's what he most wanted to share. Also, he wants to share that his mom loved the trip to Colorado. And he, again, Glenn says, thank you for coordinating that. And Glenn, if there's anything else you would want me to share, you can type it on the chat board and I will speak it for you. Thank you. Appreciate you.
Both Glenn and I are having audio problems. I've never had audio problems before. This is my very first time, and I'm in the sanctuary nearly every day that it's open. So, you know, you got to wonder sometimes if those who have passed aren't trying to communicate with us. You know, when we did Hal's memorial service in November, even though I had recently changed the battery on my smoke alarm, right at the end of the service, when I was playing the last song, it started chirping like the battery was weak. And now this time, Glenn and I have no audio. So it's just interesting. You never know about these kinds of things, right?
I get it. She's in the silence.
Yeah.
She's exactly. Peace. She's in peace in that the silence we talk about. Oh, I got it.
Yeah, it's just, I mean, you know, these things could be nothing too, but they're interesting little coincidences. Remember what Darcy said about there's no such thing as a coincidence, right? but Jay did say that he would like to share as well. So I would like to turn the mic over to Jay.
Can everybody hear me? Yeah, I was with Lynn, her last visit here in Colorado. And I've always enjoyed interacting with Lynn. I've seen her at different retreats, and she always took a great interest in me, and I always enjoyed interacting with her. Just a loving presence. You know, when you meet Lynn, she's always smiling, and you just felt that embrace of Lynn. You know, how can you not? And it's wonderful to see you, Darcy. Nice to meet you and hear about your family and life. And when I heard your voice, Darcy, I thought, oh, there's Lynn. Mm-hmm. Boy, it was beautiful to hear that. I've said several prayers for Lynn lately as I almost feel like I felt her pass. The same thing happened with Lenny Rose. I woke up in the middle of the night and I was aware that Lenny just then had passed. So I felt very connected with Lynn, and I also have had significant 7/7 experiences. I had a very significant experience in my life on the exact date of 7/7 of 77. So maybe that 7 connection, Lynn and I never talked about it, but I'm sure that was somehow in spirit our connection. When I was with Lynn here, she requested to hang out. So I came up here to the retreat house, and we spent a better part of an evening together. And I was just filled with gratitude for her. I knew that it was the last time I would see her in person, and just celebrated the moment with her in joy and no regret and just peace and letting everything be as it is. And it was just a joy to be with her in that last time. And I was grateful I could spend an evening with Lynn and commune in love and spirit with her. So again, nice to see you, Darcy, and my blessings to the rest of your family. Peace. Bye-bye.
Don, is Glenn able to share? Don, is Glenn able to share now?
Glenn, go ahead and give it a try.
Are you able to hear me?
Perfect. Yes.
Okay. I'm sorry about that. I was having connectivity issues. So, you know, I just wanted to really, like I said, like, thank you all for coordinating this. Number one, this ceremony today was very, when we heard about it from Regina, my sister and I, we were really touched. So thank you. you know, my mom had a lot of different spiritual paths. I think you talked about, you know, one of her teachers earlier, Baljeet Singh, but I think some of them were more abstract than others. Whereas this Awakening Together group was very, I think, much more tangible to her. You know, I remember whenever she would stay at my house or whenever I would be with her at her apartment, you know, on Sundays, that was the day that I would always hear, you know, on her phone, her playing and the songs and the people speaking. And I knew that she looked forward to it every week. I also wanted to thank you for, like Darcy had said, you know, and actually Regina, like you said, you know, one of the things that she really wanted to do once she was given the diagnosis is she wanted to go to Colorado on that retreat. And I know, thank you for making that happen. We really appreciate that. And I know she loved it. I have her cell phone. And so this morning I was looking at the pictures and I could see the pictures from, I think it was like June 18th, June 19th when she was, I know she was there for longer, but I think it was great. My mom loved nature. So there are the pictures of, you know, the mountains and the sunsets, deer, horses, and then of course of all the beautiful people that she was with for that week. So I just wanted to thank you for providing that, like what you call it, the sanctuary for her, as a place that she could feel like herself and feel and be with people who were of a similar mindset every Sunday. So thank you very much. We appreciate it.
And we appreciate both you and Darcy being here. Again, because I'm on my phone, I can't see, but I guess I'm wondering if Liz is here and if Liz has anything she wants to say before we close the sharing portion.
I don't think Liz was able to attend today. But I know
all right. Well,
she was asking us if it was going to be taped, and I think you all indicated in the beginning that it was, so I think she's definitely going to be listening to it later today.
Okay, well, I will say to Liz then, thank you very much, Liz, for everything you did, for helping Lynn to get to the retreat house and for contacting me once she was admitted to hospice. I genuinely appreciate that contact. Sometimes people pass and the family doesn't know to let us know because they don't know our love for that person, right? And Liz was very respectful of that. So thank you, Liz, if you hear this later. What I would like to do now is pass the mic back to Dawn. We have a closing song we want to share, and then I'm going to share another brief reading. This song is simply called Peace. Dawn, the mic is yours. Thank you.
Regina? Do you hear me?
Yes.
I just wanted to leave with this. At the number 7, my friend told me, is a highly spiritual number. It is mystical and is associated with inner knowledge, and it is very angelic. So we all have an angel looking over us.
Thank you, Darcy.
Thank you.
And I want to thank both you and Glenn for coming. That, of course, makes the ceremony much more personal and touching for all of us. I appreciate that. I appreciate everyone who came. I'm just going to close with a very brief reading. This is from my personal journal. I was going to share the screen so that you read along, but since I'm not in the computer, I can't do that. So let me just read. Age is a funny thing. When we look out at other people, we think we see old people. But as we become the old people, we notice there is no real sense of aging. Sure, the body isn't what it used to be. There are wrinkles, gray hair, bad backs or bad joints, less physical capability. There's even poor memory and a slowed ability to think. But there is no real aging. Why is that? What sees aging but knows it's an illusion? Cling to that. That is what I am. Maybe death is a funny thing too. When we look out at other people, we think we see people who die. But what if, as we die, we notice there is no real sense of dead? Sure, the body isn't like it used to be. And I close with that. I want to, again, thank everybody for coming. We love Lynn dearly, and we appreciate her still, ongoingly. And I'm releasing the mic. Thank you.
Wow, thank you so much. That was a beautiful memorial service. And thank you, Regina. Thank you, Darcy. Thank you, Glenn. We appreciate you taking the time out of your schedule, out of your lives, out of your Sunday, and coming in here to be with us to honor your mom with us together. And your sharing was amazing. I mean, it was so heartfelt and a beautiful testimony that the passing, the shedding of the body, can be an actual beautiful experience. And so thank you for that. All right, so that, I'm going to stop the recording now. That concludes our memorial service for our beloved Lynn Turner, who was an Awakening Together member and friend. Peace to you, Lynn.